Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Arise, arise, Peter, and kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again unto heaven. Now we're going to stop there today, and a beautiful message and story here with Cornelius, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can just enjoy this wonderful time of fellowship, this beautiful day that you've given us. We thank and praise you for it. We do ask, Father, that you would send rain as we're getting the corn in the ground, and we need a nice shower sent from heaven. And so, Father, we just ask that upon your time you send it for us, and we just praise and thank you right now for it. We have, Father, so many folks that are ill and sick and having trouble healing and just, Father, so many things. And we lift them all up to you today. You know their names. I pray that all of us have our prayer lists, and we have went down through that prayer list this very morning, that we took time to pray for each one and for all the church family, but especially those that are physically ill, those that are spiritually ill that need your help. Father, please just guide and lead us today through your precious word, and bring those who do not know you as their Savior to the saving grace, the saving knowledge of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Up to this point of the 10th chapter of Acts, the instruction was very clear that the word was to go out to the Jews. And so they were instructed. We have in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, is a text that tells them as they went out that they should go out to the Jews only, not to Samaria, not to the Gentiles, just to the Jews. And so we find now that we're opening the door, and we have such a tremendous message here. We have talked about Saul. We have talked about Peter. He has had some wonderful the message at Pentecost. And then again, we took a look at this man named named Saul. And now we've kind of opened the door back up for Peter once again. But now at this 10th chapter is an open door once again. And this man named, a name that we're going to be talking about today in the next couple of weeks, his name is Cornelius. And so as we look at this man, we're going to find that Peter is going to have the opportunity. And according to Matthew 16:19, we read, and let's just go back to Matthew 16:19. I don't want to jump over too many of these. I hope that you write those scripture verses down, go back this afternoon and read them. But Peter here has had a wonderful opportunity of sharing the gospel. He has went from the denying the Lord three times at the before the crucifixion at the trial to being a tremendous spokesman of the Word of God, and first to the Jews. And now we look at Matthew 16:19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I shall give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That word keys is a badge. It's a badge of power or a badge of authority. And we know that this many times text is misused by many. But Peter had the authority to take out the Word of God at Pentecost. Was the first time the keys were used to give out the gospel, the plan of salvation, to open the door to be a Christian, a Christ-like. Prior to this, there were no Christians. The term of Christians was just used. We know that as we stand here and look, and we find that the door now has been opened, the keys of the kingdom of heaven was given, the authority was given. Peter proclaimed it to Israel. Well, I think we believe we find here that the keys are used a second time because he's going to open the door now for the Gentiles. And so we're moving forward, opening that door of salvation. The opportunity moves now, the second use of these keys. And it involves the house of Cornelius. And so now that we come back to Acts chapter 10, and I believe again that Peter is opening the door. He has the power and the authority of God to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles, and it is through, once again, the house of Cornelius. We're going to take a couple of minutes and look at the location, Caesarea. It's located on the coast of the Mediterranean. It's a very beautiful city at this time. It was a fast-growing city at this time. And so it was rebuilt by Herod the Great and named in honor of Augustus Caesar, the Roman emperor of that day. We found that that Philip's home was in Caesarea. The space of about 10 years, this city went from nothing, from not rebel but rubble, but from very little to a very, very beautiful city, maybe one of the most beautiful cities in the country of Syria. Today, if you would go to Caesarea, you would find complete ruin. There's nothing there today. This man named Cornelius, now on to him, a certain man called Cornelius, that is a Latin name. It's believed that he is to be a Roman, a Gentile, a centurion, the scripture tells us. In verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian Band. Now there's some discussion back and forth, but some believe that this is a command of a division of Roman soldiers, and it's numbering about 100 men. The band that is called the Italian Band, a regiment of the Roman army, is made up of 400 to 600 soldiers. And so, again, there is through history different numbers and things like that, and we're not going to get tied up with that. But it would seem, because it's listed the Italian band, that is made up totally of folks from Italy as far as he is leading. Now, this man named Cornelius, it says he was a devout man, the scripture says. One that feared God with all his house, the scripture tells us. Cornelius feared and worshiped God according to the light that he had, according to the understanding he had. I am going to say that I don't believe at all that Cornelius was saved at this time. He was not saved. And we can go to the 11th chapter of Acts, and the 11th through the 14th verse, and I hope that you agree with me. Acts chapter 11, verse 11, and this again is a testimony of Peter, but he says, "And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, and sent from Caesarea unto me. The Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into this man's house. He showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." And so we believe that back here in the 10th chapter, even though we have such wonderful words, as verse 2 tells us, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now that would look like a fine Christian man there. But again, according to Scripture, confirmed Scripture, and according to this 11th chapter, the plan of salvation, the words of the gospel were brought to him by Peter. And so it's so important that we see and understand, prayed to God always. What did he pray? He wasn't saved. Maybe he was praying for a contentment that he couldn't have. Maybe he was praying for an assurance that he couldn't have. Maybe he was praying for a peace that he couldn't possess. Maybe he was praying for hope that he couldn't have. Maybe he was just praying, Lord, show me the truth. We're not sure what Cornelius was praying unto God for. But we're going to find the joy of how that God answers anyone that is seeking salvation. And I believe that's the beautiful picture we have with Cornelius here. Not only the opening of the door to the Gentiles, but that any person that desires salvation, God will direct and send a means and a way. So we find here, after his praying, after his faithfulness to give alms to the poor and to help his common man, he said, pray to God always. He saw in a vision, verse 3, evidently about the 9th hour of that day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius, calling him by name. And again, you can come back and forth with different thoughts, but the 9th hour is believed to be 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And that is a common prayer time for the Jews. And maybe Cornelius, even though he hadn't adopted the Jewish ways completely of sacrificing and being circumcised and things, he still may have picked up on the thought of praying at that time of the day. And so we need to understand that here we we go again with this vision that's coming, and we find, as we read down here with Peter, that Peter went into a trance. Understand that we're still in this transitional period of the Old Testament to the day of grace, the birth of the church. These all go away, the visions, the trances, all these things that God used during this transitional period does not exist today. We have no new prophecies that is not stated in the Word of God. That doesn't exist. And so when you hear of ones that are speaking in tongues and they're having a healing service and you do all these things, that those things were for the purpose of the birth of the church, to show God's power and strength, His authority. And once the Word of God was complete, that was it. Those things went away. And so don't be fooled or deceived by those that say they still exist. We find that, again, we do not need the visions or the signs or the wonders today, because we have the Word of God. That which is perfect is come, and we have that in the Word of God. And so, now, an angel of God, a ministering spirit of the Lord that He has sent, and so as we come and He calls him by name, it says here, the angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And so He calls him by name. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. Well, you can imagine what you would see when all of a sudden this angel stood before us. We're not told what his appearance was like, but we are told that it startled, it frightened Cornelius, according to the scripture here. But it tells us here, and then Cornelius answers, and he says, "What is it, Lord?" That doesn't mean that he knew or believed that this was God or this was his Savior. That word "Lord" here is "Sir." And so it's just a courtesy. Sir, what do you want? And that's what Cornelius asked this messenger of the Lord as he brought this message. Well, look what is heard this. And this is wonderful, because it says unto him, thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now this man is lost. He's not saved, and yet here we find his prayers and his what he has done to the to his mankind, to the people around him. God has seen that. God's all knowing. God sees this, but this got to the ears of God. Why? Because Cornelius is searching. And any time anyone that is searching for the Word of God, for the truth, for salvation, God will send a messenger. He will send someone somehow to get that message to that individual. And we find that very fact coming. So much of the time, and we're going to speak of that, because from verse 9 down through verse 16, Peter had to learn a lesson. He had to be taught something, because all of a sudden he is going from speaking to Israel, to the Israelites, he's going to be speaking now to a Gentile. And so God had to teach Peter some new things that he had to learn and to change at the same time. But so we have here that Cornelius was afraid, he was scared, and what is it, Lord? What is it, sir? And then this messenger said, your prayers and thine alms have come up for a memorial before God. And then he gives him some instruction there. You know, this beautiful opportunity, the prayer that he lifted up was not a prayer from the heart, because Cornelius wasn't saved, but it was a prayer from outside, an outgoing a call that he gave for help unto the Lord. And when we do that as a lost person, God's ears hear this, and he sends a messenger down to take care of that request. The alms, again, just shows that he had a great love for his fellow man. We know that we're not told anyway, and we believe that Cornelius did not bring any offerings or sacrifices according to the Jewish religion. We believe that he was not circumcised. We have no reason to believe that, as is required by the Mosaic law. Yet we find that he is praying for understanding. He is so far ahead of most of the priests and the Jews because they were bringing their offerings and sacrifices, and yet they didn't believe at all what that stood for. They missed the Messiah, and yet this man here, being a Gentile, he is praying for understanding and for God to speak to him. And so, you know, in preparing this, I got to thinking about my past, and you realize that Cornelius here prayed. He did good works. He did good things. Most of you probably don't realize that I've taught Sunday school for 44 years. For 44 years, I've taught Sunday school. I've only been saved 41 years. What was I teaching? I was teaching the understanding. I was teaching what I knew. It wasn't truth. It wasn't right. But I desired to have the truth. I studied the scripture. I read the Bible. I studied the Bible. And I can still remember kitchen, that's where they put me in my Sunday school class. We had a table in the middle of the kitchen down in the basement of the Lutheran church. And I remember one of those Sunday school kids saying, "What is this about being born again?" And you know what my response to that was? I don't believe it either. I don't believe it either. Well, the Lord has changed my heart, and isn't it something how those words come to haunt you out of all these years? So that would have been 44, 43 years ago when I made that statement. 41 years ago is when I was saved, born again. Now, God brought to me, and so I personally can really relate to Cornelius here, how that he was praying. He was doing what he thought was right. But it just wasn't there. And so God did the same thing. He didn't send me a Peter, but he sent me the Word of God. He sent me the truth. And then it was up to me whether I responded and listened to that call of salvation or whether I continued in the same path of my religion that I had before. And I praise the Lord that he saved me. And so I make that statement that I've been saved 41 years and been teaching Sunday school for 44 years doesn't seem right. But the Lord has sure brought salvation to me, showed me where I was wrong, as we're going to find with Cornelius. And so please that you think about those things, how that God He watches, God listens, he wants each one of us to turn to him. And that Spirit of God comes, and that Spirit of God, his Spirit, Holy Spirit, knocks on our heart and calls us, brings us his Word so that we can read and study it. I wasn't studying it to be saved, to be born again. I didn't need to be born again. What I needed was more people to come to church. And they said that's what this program would do. And so I kept studying it and reading it. And the problem was that it was all verses of Scripture. All verses of Scripture concerning needing to be born again. And it said you need to be saved. You need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I read those Scripture verses over and over again. And finally, this old hard heart turned unto the Lord Jesus for salvation. And so we see Cornelius not saved, but praying. And by his praying and by his action, that opportunity of salvation came to his door. Offering alms, the God says he honored that. He honored what Cornelius was doing, enough that he would send someone there to share the truth with him. I don't believe for a minute that Cornelius was trusting or depending upon his works. I think Cornelius sought the truth. He wanted the truth. And he knew, a lost person, if a lost person uses the word of God just to work by and doesn't trust him for salvation, God uses that. It's a good work ethic. You're going to go to hell, but it's the right thing to do in treating people and in your guidance of business. Cornelius seemed to have followed that. Again, not depending on that. He was seeking God. How do we know that? Because here in this very part of the last part of verse 4, he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." And so God knew his heart that he was desiring this. And so God is going to take care of that. So now that we see in verse 5, "And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtst to do." There is not anything left out here. He tells Cornelius, he said, "Okay, now, you send some men." He didn't say for him to go himself. He said, "You send some men. You send them to Simon the tanner's house. And there is a man named Simon there, surnamed Peter. And that's who they're to ask for." And so that's what they're to do. He is lodging there with Simon the tanner. He told him exactly where to go, where it was at. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. You notice that he just didn't send these men. He told them every experience, everything that he had just been through. He said, I saw this vision. It was an angel. It was a spirit. I can't explain what it was, but here's what he told me. Here's what he said, and so please that you would carry that out. And we know that they did. They carried that out for every part of what he said. So, "And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa," in verse 8. And so they're on their way. And so this call, this opportunity that God is given Cornelius because of his desire, his seeking, we find now that now God's going to answer that. Now, Cornelius at this point still isn't saved, but he is, if you've taken any hint, going to send the messenger that can tell him the truth. And so we need to realize by this, and then the ninth verse down through verse 16 is concerning something Peter has to learn, and we'll start on that next week and then move on into his coming. But I wanted you to see, that's the reason we went on to the 11th chapter, for you to see that I don't believe Cornelius is saved. I believe that this is, as every lost man seeks the truth, the word of God, God sends a messenger. He sends a messenger to bring that gospel to him. Now it's going to be up to Cornelius and his household to whether they accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. But God always sends a messenger. And so when anyone desires salvation, desires to know the truth, Cornelius wouldn't even call it salvation. He didn't have a peace, and he would keep calling on God for that peace. Well, where is the peace going to come from? It will come through a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so we need to understand, and we need to be ready, because also Peter is told of God through this trance what's going to happen. He said, here's what's coming. There's going to be men coming, and they're going to call upon you, and they want you to go with them. And so you see, not only did he come to Cornelius, and then Cornelius had to be obedient to follow. If Cornelius said, I don't believe any of this, I don't believe a word of it, and I don't want anything to do with it, that would have been the end of Cornelius' salvation. But you see, because this is the open door for the Gentiles, for you and for me, that's the reason it's the second time he used the key, God's authority, to bring it to Israel, bring it to the Gentile world, to you and to me. So please study and read on down through these the rest of this chapter, as we'll continue to study it and to enjoy it and to search it. But understand that when there's a person desires salvation, God sends someone. See that if we are the ones to go, that we listen, that we go when we're called. We be where he wants us to be and do what he wants us to do. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you today for your precious word. It's a joy to open your word and to see the invitation now has sad to say, Israel, the Jews as a whole, has rejected it. The call continues to go for Israel, to Jews individually, but the reaching out to the Gentiles is right here with this man named Cornelius. So please, thank you, Father. Please guide us. Please lead us each day. Please have us to have our ears open and speak when we need to speak. Listen to the call when someone comes into our presence, and you will show us through the Spirit that's in our heart. We need to testify to them and speak that truth. And so please guide and lead us, Father. Touch every heart. Please, Lord, I don't want anyone here to be just as Cornelius, as did not know the truth. Father, the truth is here. We proclaim the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Please, Father, let everyone here hear, know, and be born again, be saved, and begin to walk with you. Now speak to hearts now, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.